The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Hope you're all doing well on this sunny afternoon. We had some rain showers maybe last night, this morning. It is sunny now here in the Auburn Opelika area. Hope you're all doing well on this Thursday afternoon. That means tomorrow is Friday, which means the weekend is right around the corner. So hang on tight. You are almost there to the weekend. Hope you're all doing well on this Thursday afternoon. We've got so much to talk about here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, right here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. We are 37 days away from Auburn football. The countdown to football season is on. We are 37 days away from Auburn football kicking off the 2022 season. And with that, we have so much to go over today, and I would love for you to call in, be involved, be a part of the show, be on the line. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. That is the number to put you through to me. Call in anything on your mind in the sports world, anything I'm talking about, or anything else that comes up in your mind that you want to chime in on and be a part of. Give me a call, be on the line, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Well, isn't it funny how yesterday, if you were here, you know what I'm talking about. Isn't it funny how yesterday I talked a lot about Alabama recruiting, and I talked about how Alabama picked up yet again another five-star recruit, and I talked about how Alabama picked up yet again another recruit, and they added it to their recruiting class for 2023, and they have 15 guys, and Auburn only has four. It's funny how yesterday we talked about what Auburn needs to do to try to close the gap on Alabama recruiting and close the gap on the SEC in recruiting and what Auburn needs to do to try to get some people to commit to play for Brian Harsin and this staff. And yesterday, I told you it was going to come. No, I didn't think it was going to be 20 minutes after I got off the air, but I did say that Auburn would pick up some recruits, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. Literally, right when I get off the air, I'm in the studio uploading the podcast, and I get the news that Auburn picked up yet again another commitment for the 2023 class. They pick up Wilkie Dinaud, four-star edge from John Carroll High School in the state of Georgia. A four-star defensive edge, and what a big-time pickup for Brian Harsin and the Auburn Tigers. He is the fifth player of the 2023 class, and from what I can see, he's a stud. I mean, he is a four-star across the board pretty much everywhere you look with recruiting rankings. This guy's a stud. And looks like he has a lot of quickness and lateral movement and being able to just make plays across the field. And he chose Auburn over Florida State, Tennessee, and Indiana. So a couple of big-time programs that Auburn beat out for this guy that he had in his final list. We've already seen Auburn lose out to Florida State on a recruiting battle, and we know what Tennessee has been doing in recruiting. So I think it's a big-time win for Auburn. You know, this was during a time where literally yesterday I talked a lot about Auburn being behind in recruiting. And I talked about Alabama, where they are in recruiting after they picked up a five-star yesterday. But now today we get to talk about Auburn picking up a four-star and how they are adding more and more to the 2023 recruiting class. And so we're going to talk about the significance of this player. We're going to talk about what the 2023 class looks like right now, and we're also going to talk about why there are only five in this class versus somebody like Alabama who has 15. I think it's a strategy. Sure, we'd like to see more, but I think there's a reason why. We're going to talk about that as well. What do you think about Auburn picking up a brand new recruit yesterday afternoon, the four-star edge out of Georgia? Give me a call, 334-321-1390. I'd love for you to chime in on this conversation. But when you start breaking down Wilkie Dinad, again, he's a four-star edge coming out of the state of Georgia. He picked Auburn over Florida State, Tennessee, and Indiana. And he makes it five now for Auburn on their 2023 class. But when you look at the rankings and you look at the star ratings for these five players, they're all four stars. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But looking at this player, again, I think he's very good. He's 6'4", 245 pounds. That's a big man. That's a big old guy, if you haven't realized what 6'4", 245 pounds can do. And playing off the edge, I think he brings a different type of versatility to the defense for Auburn. You add that to a class for Auburn that already has some big-time names, I think he's going to fit in just fine. And you look at the defense next year for Auburn after what they will be losing this year, Auburn's going to need some help. And this guy can bring it. I see him being a starter down the road. I see him being that thing I like to say, an immediate impact player. I think he's going to be something like that. And as a four-star, they're also saying that his best year is to come in high school. That's what his coaches have said. That's what they've been quoted as saying, that his best years are yet to come. And so they expect that he is only going to get better. That means his rankings will probably go up. But at this point, if you're Auburn, you don't really care if his ranking goes up. You'd love to see him get better, but you obviously already think that he's good enough to play for you because you offered him and he chose you. But if he ends up getting better than what he is right now, yeah, you're doing good at that point if you're Auburn. So you add that, you have five now in this 2023 recruiting class, and it's crazy. It literally happened like 20 minutes after I got off the air yesterday. With the drive, obviously they were on the air and they talked about it, but I was not talking about it because it hadn't happened yet. And we talked about how Auburn is trying to compete in the SEC when it comes to recruiting and what the Tigers need to do to close the gap on Alabama. And I talked about how the recruits have gotten to a point, for the most part, they've gotten to a point where they're waiting on Brian Harsin to win. They want to make sure that Auburn is going to win football games. And that's fine. That makes sense. I would be the same way before I would commit to somebody. Before you go and put your future in someone's hands, you want to make sure they're actually responsible. And you want to actually make sure that they can get it done. Right? That's what you want to do. It's the same thing in life, whether it's a relationship, a job, whatever it may be. You want to be with someone or a group or a company or whoever it may be. You want to be with someone and somebody and a group of people that are successful and are going to benefit you down the road. That's what Auburn has hit. That's the wall that Auburn has hit right now in recruiting. Now, obviously, this guy and the other four, they've all decided that they trust Brian Harsin and they trust Auburn and they want to be here and be a part of that. And that's fantastic. And we're happy for them and we're happy that Auburn has picked up these players. But from what I hear and from what I see, that's the wall that they've hit. Win games, and you're going to get the recruits. And so it helps Auburn, and it helps Brian Harsin when players like Wilkie Dinad, when they commit without Auburn having to win very many games, when they already commit and they say, yeah, I trust Brian Harsin. I trust Auburn. I trust the players that are already here. I trust the players that have already committed. I'm going to join them. That shows big, big promise, in my opinion. It really does. Because when you look at it, these five players that have committed to Auburn, why have they committed here? Right? Why are they committed to Auburn? What has Auburn done to get them to commit here? Well, you have a hometown kid and you have some guys that just believe in trusting the process. But that shows other recruits, hey, there's five guys that have committed over there. That's pretty ballsy for them to be committed there, right? To be giving their future to them without showing any production. Well, they must trust what's going on, and they must trust that it's going to come. So you have five guys that have already done that, and I think that's big time. They very easily could have Auburn as a recruiting class, could have nobody, very easily. And I would believe it, and I would say, this is the reason. And so the fact that Auburn already has five good players on this recruiting class, I think is a promising sign. I talk about how Auburn only has five, right? You can compare, and it's easy to do so. And again, the easy one is Alabama, because that's what we talked about yesterday. Alabama has five guys, or excuse me, Auburn has five guys. Alabama has 15 guys in their 2023 recruiting class. 15. That's a lot, right? Auburn, we would love if we had 15 guys in our 2023 recruiting class right now. But if you look at the guys on Auburn's class, there's five of them there, and all five of them are four-star players. All five of them are high-quality four-star players at their position. And so maybe Brian Harsin and this staff, instead of going out and trying to get every single kid that they can get their hands on, maybe they're being a little bit more particular with who they want to go after. Maybe they're not offering every kid that walks through the door or every kid that they see on the field in high school football. Maybe Brian Harsin and this staff, maybe they're choosing quality over quantity. Maybe. And now some people may say, or maybe they're just striking out and not getting as many as they wanted. Very well could be the case. Very well could be. And I'm sure, and we have seen it happen, Auburn has missed on some guys. They have. Auburn has missed on plenty of guys in this recruiting class. But what it looks like to me is that Brian Harsin and this staff are going after quality over quantity. Because all five guys are four-star players who have potential to be five stars when they come out of high school. They all have a year left. And so I think that's very important to look at, is that Auburn has five guys on this recruiting class, but there's no three stars. They're all four stars, and I think they're all going to be starters when they're here. That is an important part of looking at this rankings and looking at the class as a whole for Auburn right now. And so adding a guy like Wilkie Dinad, which a fantastic name, by the way, fantastic name. He's a four-star edge coming out of the state of Georgia. So Auburn goes into Georgia and gets a big-time player at the state next door. That's a victory. You add a guy that's a four-star, so you make five of them in your class. That's a victory. You get a guy to commit to you before winning any games, really, because I don't count last year. You get a guy that commits to you before winning any significant games. That's a victory. So I think Brian Harsin and the staff are doing just fine. You have five guys in this class, all four stars, all committed to you over pretty much nothing right now. If you ask me, I think that's a win. And I think that means right now, this class is only going to get better. Because look at where it's at right now, and look at the potential where it can go. You start winning games, kids are going to be committing left and right. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a complete 180 turn, and Auburn's going to get every five-star on the book. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I think once you start winning some games, I think kids are really going to start committing here. And I think Auburn's class is going to grow very, very quickly. And I think 6 months from now, we're going to look at Auburn's 23 class and we're going to say, wow, there's a lot of talent in here. And we're going to look at it and say, remember 6 months ago when we were at four and we gained that fifth and we were still worried about the recruiting class? Because I'm sure some of you are, and that's totally fine. But what I'm saying is it's going to get better. It already has gotten better. Just a few months ago, there were two guys in there, and those guys have been committed forever. And Auburn didn't have, Brian Harsin didn't have anything to do with that. They were already committed. They were born committed to Auburn. Now they're up to five. Auburn has five guys who are four-star players, who are quality athletes, who are instant impact players when they get here. And it's only going to get better for this 2023 class. And not only that, this staff is recruiting for 24, 25, 26. They're recruiting for years down the road because that's what successful teams do. They're not planning like this is a do or die year. They're planning like this year is going to be successful, and they're recruiting for years to come because they expect to be here for years to come. I like that. And sure, that's what they're supposed to do, but from what it looks like from the outside looking in, there's no sense of negative urgency, right? There's no scared from these guys, from these coaches. It seems like they're planning for a future that they truly plan on being here for. And I like that a lot. I think Auburn's recruiting class is going to get better. I think it's going to take some time, but I think it will get there. Auburn picks up Wilkie Dinaud, a four-star edge from John Carroll High School out of the state of Georgia. He is the fifth commitment to the 2023 class. He's another four-star. Big-time win, big-time get. Auburn, they're going to be just fine in recruiting, folks, I'm telling you. Let's take our first break here at hour number one on this Thursday edition of On the Line. What do you think about the commitment of Wilkie Dinaud yesterday? What do you think right now about the recruiting class in 2023 for Auburn? What do you think it looks like compared to other schools around the SEC? I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We're going to have the question of the day when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Question of the day. Talking about Auburn football recruiting as they pick up Wilkie Dinaud, the four-star edge, out of the state of Georgia. Question of the day to you is this. How many recruits would you... Okay, let me ask it this way. For the 2023 recruiting class for Auburn, how many recruits would it take for you to be satisfied with the recruiting class overall? So in this 2023 class, there's five guys in there right now. What number does that need to hit for you to be happy with the 2023 class? And at by what point in the year? Do you want it done by the end of the season, December, next year, whatever it may be? What is that number? How many guys do you want to see in this 2023 recruiting class? And by what point in the year, what would make you the happiest to see? 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to me. 334-321-1390. 1390. At what point will you be pleased with the 2023 recruiting class? What is that number that you want to see? Is it a number of five stars? Is it just an overall number? Is it a number of four and five stars? Whatever it may be, at what point would you, the listener, right now, you listen to me right now, what point would you be happy with the 2023 recruiting class for Auburn? 334-321-1390. For me, you know, it's hard to put a specific number on it for me. It's more of a time frame for me. I think after the season, or even during the season, right? I think you could try to get something then. I just want to see everything I've been talking about with Auburn getting wins, and I think it's going to be a flood of recruits after Auburn starts showing some promise and winning some games. That's when I'm going to be happy, is when the success on the field will relate to the success off the field. That's what I want to see. And so by December, I mean, I would love to, there's five guys in there right now. I would love to see 15 or 16 guys in there, right? I would love to see that. And even more, obviously, we all would want to see as many as possible, and we want to see as many five stars as possible, but I'm talking realistically. At what point would you be pleased with the 2023 recruiting class? And are you still worried about it? Are you still worried about Auburn football recruiting as it stands right now? I want to hear from you. I want to hear what the fans think, the listeners think. I want to hear what you have to say about this, because I truly don't know the entire fan base's opinion, right? I don't know that. I would like to think that people agree with me and... or not necessarily agree with me, but on the same page with me, as we can see where this is going and can see where football recruiting could be promising. But I think there's a lot of people that are still worried about it, and rightfully so. Okay, rightfully so. You're still worried because, yeah, Auburn picked up a four-star, but Bama picked up a five-star yesterday. So who really won, right? That's one way to look at it. That's not the way I look at it, but that is a way to look at it. You could also look and say, well, yeah, but Alabama still has 15, Auburn has 5. They have triple what we do. You're right. You're absolutely right. Georgia's the same way. But I'm not looking at it that way. Okay, I'm not. I think for me, with this 2023 class, I want to see constant constant commitments, right? I want to see this constantly growing and getting better over time. I don't expect this to just go from 5 to 20 in a matter of a week, okay? I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think it'll steadily increase. And I like it that way because that gives us a chance to sit here and break it all down and talk about all of the players that are in this recruiting class and the new ones that are joining in the future and will join whenever they do. That makes it exciting for us to sit here and talk about it, break it down, and talk about how they fit into the system and the team and the recruits and all of that. So I like that. And I think that's what's going to happen. Again, I don't see this as there's just going to be a week where Auburn picks up 10 guys in this class. I think it'll be pretty consistent, though. And it's picked up over the last couple of months, right? We've seen it pick up recently. We have, right now in the class, Braden Joyner, Wilkie Dinaud, who committed yesterday. You have Terrence Love, Jeremiah Cobb, and Carmelo English. We saw these guys. Those were recent. So you have a wide receiver, a running back, a safety, an edge, and an inside offensive lineman. So that's pretty solid if you ask me. And so what I would be happy with, just consistency. Keep adding guys. Keep convincing guys that Auburn is a place that they need to play. But what about you? What do you think? 334-321-1390. And it's not even like convincing them in a bad way. When I said that, it didn't sound right. You want them to come to Auburn and convince them this is the right place to be, but then also make sure that it is the right place for them to be and make their time and their commitment worth it. And I think, like I said, these five guys already being committed to Auburn is so, so big. Because now we've seen guys like Braden Joyner who have been huge spokespeople for Auburn. He's been a huge spokesperson for Auburn, right? He preaches for players to come to Auburn. He is super, super active on social media. He is always recruiting, right? He is a commit that is recruiting for Auburn. That's big time. And so think about if these other four guys are doing that and they're going out and telling all their buddies and they're reaching out to guys that they know or they've played against or reaching out to friends of friends and saying, hey, I'm already committed here. You should come check us out. Hey, I'm already committed here. Why don't you do the same? Let's be a part of something special. Let's be a part of the rebuild for Auburn. Let's see if we can be the building blocks to make this program great again. I think that's a huge thing these recruits can do. And so when you look at what these five recruits can do for Auburn right now, that's it. They can be recruiting themselves and recruiting other players to come to Auburn. But looking at this class in a whole, I think by December, you just want to see constant growth of the recruiting class. You want to continue to see four stars and bring in a couple five stars. And you know what? Even get some of those three stars. The amount of three stars over the years, not just at Auburn, but in college football, that have turned out to be fantastic superstars, endless. There's endless examples of that. So just seeing Auburn consistently and constantly getting more and more recruits, that is what I'll be happy about. That's what I want to see. Wins on the field will lead to more recruits, I promise. I promise you. That is what I want to see with this 2023 class. Halfway through hour number one, stay tuned. We got 30 more minutes in this first hour. You don't want to miss it.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz. On ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Halfway through hour number one on this Thursday afternoon. Sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. We've been talking about Auburn football recruiting as they picked up a Another recruit for the 2023 class, Wilkie Dinad, the four-star edge, 6'4", 250 pounds, is Wilkie Dinad. He is a four-star out of the state of Georgia, so excited that he is part of this 2023 class for Auburn. Well, last week at SEC Media Days, I had a great chance to have so many interviews and sit-downs with so many wonderful people. And Kimberly Bowden, I had a chance to talk to her and really, really enjoyed my sit-down with her. She's the president and CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame. We talked about how important it was to her and the entire just organization to have SEC Media Days there at the College Football Hall of Fame, some of the renovations that they're doing, and why fans should go and visit the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta. I'm going to play that interview right now. My sit-down with Kimberly Bowden last week at SEC Media Days.
Well, as promised, to start off hour number two, we have another guest here on the show, Kimberly Bowden, the president and CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us.
Oh, my gosh, Jake. Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, I know it's a busy week here at the College Football Hall of Fame, SEC Media Days 2022, back here at the College Football Hall of Fame. What does it mean for you and the entire Hall of Fame to have SEC Media Days here once again?
Well, we are so excited to have it back. You know, first of all, it means that football's right around the corner.
Yes.
When you get here, it's just, you know, the countdown is on, and that's very exciting. And, you know, for us, it's just the vibe and just the whole feeling in the building. Just to have that again is very exciting.
And, I mean, just the amount of people and media and attention that is on the College Football Hall of Fame, how does that, you know, how does that affect you and how does that impact you?
It impacts us more than we can express, quite frankly. It's, you know, earned media. We're getting so much coverage. You know, Frank Beamer just talked about how much he loved the venue and loves to visit with his family. I mean, the stuff we couldn't buy and couldn't pay for,
right,
because it's so authentic and it's, you know, and it's organic and people are just genuinely happy to be here and are genuinely singing the praises of the Hall of Fame. It doesn't get any better than that.
And so in your opinion, why, obviously, I'm sure you think this, why should the SEC Media Days be here at the College Football Hall of Fame every year?
Well, we are pretty centrally located in, you know, within the conference.
Yep.
We're an easy flight and an easy drive. And, you know, this is the home of college football. You know, the College Football Hall of Fame is what celebrates all that's good in the game. So why not be here?
And, you know, talk about the setup that we've got going on here at the College Football Hall of Fame for SEC Media Days. The main room behind us, Radio Row right atop of it. Talk about how you plan that out and what it kind of looks like.
Sure. And so this setup is a little different than we had in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 45-yard indoor playing field, and we, you know, use that for the main stage in the main area. Radio Row was actually over in the Omni, and that was one of the things that when we sat down and kind of what worked and what didn't, we worked it out with the SEC to bring Radio Row over here and have it up on the second floor of the Hall of Fame. It means we're not open to the public, you know, which is, you know, we kind of had to weigh that, but just to be able to have everything in one place, to your point, you can look over and see what's going on, you can run up here and do your show. It's just been so well received, and so I would say that's probably the biggest change we made.
Were there any other changes that you made from the first time to this time?
We added some additional broadcast opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, some of the things that were taking place in the Omni, we were fortunate to be able to carve out the space and do them here. And again, that was based on making the decision to go ahead and close the facility for these 4 days.
Well, I'll tell you what, for me personally, it's very convenient because I hang out down in the football field down behind us where the main stage is, like you talked about. I hang out down there, I listen to the coaches, and then I normally, the routine for me so far in these first 2 days has been listen to the head coach on the main stage, run over to the Omni to catch them in the smaller room, and then come right back here for the players. And there's three separate stages for the players to be able to talk to the media, and you can just walk up and get questions and interviews with them. And I love how that's set up. And then, like you said, as soon as my show, I could come upstairs. It's literally just upstairs on the next level, looking down over the podium and everything. I just think it's really, really convenient. Talking to Kimberly Bowden, the president and CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame, what are some of the things that the College Football Hall of Fame has done over the years to make the whole museum and the whole Hall of Fame better for the fan experience?
Absolutely. I think the first thing that most people don't understand when they hear Hall of Fame is how interactive we actually are. You know, the Hall of Fame is why we exist, right? We're here to immortalize the greatest players and coaches and really hold them up as role models for future generations. You know, that's kind of the mission. But we also wanted this place to be fun. and to really be a celebration of all that's good in the game. So from day one, it was a very unique blend of the history and artifacts and the stories and really state-of-the-art interactive exhibits. So, you know, we want you to sing your fight song, right? So we created fight song karaoke.
That's so cool.
So you can step in there, we'll video you, we will we give you the words and we turn the music on for you, and it's really an immersive experience.
And we talked about during the break how a lot of that is, or most of it's not even active this week because of Radio Row being right here.
Absolutely. It's fun, it's loud, it's engaging, it's interactive, and those things that would typically draw fans in would be pretty distracting, you know, to the folks trying to do business here on Radio Row. But I will say we turn 8 in August, mm-hmm. and okay. I would say in the last 2 years, we have, 2 years, 2.5 years, have changed out or added 7 new exhibits.
Wow.
So we have really, you know, tried to keep it fresh, tried to, you know, stay on top of technology. When you're touting yourself as cutting edge, you really need to be. Mm-hmm. So.
And what goes into those changes when you're talking about getting rid of one exhibit, exchanging it for another, adding an exhibit to the College Football Hall of Fame? What goes into that decision-making process?
There's several layers to it. First and foremost, the entire building is RFID enabled.
Okay.
So we do have the data on which exhibits kind of get the most engagement, the most interaction, what galleries people spend the most time in exploring. And that gives us a lot of direction in terms of, okay, if we're thinking about changing something up, this one could probably go, and let's kind of go in this direction. And so that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Part of it is how do we make sure it's authentic to the game?
Right.
You know, we're not just going to stick some kind of random exhibit in here to make a sponsor happy. So it has to feel authentic. And the quarterback simulator was one that we put in. And we partnered with Air Force on that, and it's Air Force Air Raid. And, you know, so it really feels, you know, it's all about college football, and that's what we want. So it has to relate to the game, feel authentic. Sponsors obviously help fund it.
Yes.
Couldn't do it without that. And then we just watch the data.
That's really cool. Talking to Kimberly Bowden, the president and CEO of College Football Hall of Fame, here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, live from SEC Media Days on Radio Row. Let me ask you this. How does the ever-changing future of college football affect what you do here at the College Football Hall of Fame, whether it be exhibits or interactives, whatever it may be, the future stuff for the College Football Hall of Fame?
You know, our Hall of Famers are not eligible to be inducted until they're 10 years out of college. Mm-hmm. And so I think with a lot of the changes that are happening in the game right now, I don't think we're going to necessarily have to tackle those issues for a while. You know, we're here to celebrate greatness. We're here to celebrate excellence. We're here to celebrate dedication, teamwork, you know, hard work, perseverance, those universal values. And I don't think that's going to change. The life lessons that you learn from playing college football are inherent in the game. And I think that's where our focus is going to stay. Now, that being said, you know, we have an exhibit in right now. We have a special gallery that we rotate 3 or 4 times a year.
Okay.
The exhibit that's in there now is the evolution of the SEC.
Nice.
And
appropriate,
but you can't talk about the evolution of the SEC without looking forward and knowing that Texas and Oklahoma are coming in 2025. So
yeah, and other conferences are realigning
are
and doing the same thing. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so let me ask you this, I'm looking down here at the end, you have the different rivalries on the wall and stuff like that. With the new ones that are created, I mean, is that something that will be updated as time goes on?
Absolutely. And so we have the rivalries on the pillars that are kind of static, but one of the things we also have are interactive exhibits with rivalries. So if you walk up and I'm assuming Auburn fan.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So you walk up, you have registered your RFID All Access Pass to Auburn. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, it's going to say if it's an RFID-enabled exhibit, it's going to recognize you, and it is going to deliver you Auburn information, Hall of Famers. And so with rivalries, it's going to pull up Auburn's top rivals, and then you can kind of click on it and see the history.
Wow, okay.
Right? So you can, the interactive elements of it allow you to really go deeper into the history of the game and into whether it's the history of rivalries, you know, or the history of coaching and how plays are developed. It's a unique blend.
So today here at SEC Media Days, it's Alabama Day. And I was talking to you before we came on. There's fans down in the lobby. You did open that up and let fans come in and see all of the action and interact and do whatever they need to do. With it being Alabama Day, what is the expectation of fans being in the lobby? You said there were people there at 5:30 this morning?
There were people waiting outside the building at 5:30 this morning.
Wow.
You know, some diehard fans. And so we definitely wanted the opportunity for folks who, you know, really wanted to get a glimpse of their coach or their favorite players that are here, grab an autograph, those types of things. So that is why we opened what we call our quad, where the three-story helmet wall is. And folks have just been coming in and out throughout the day. We provide a schedule so they know, you know, kind of when the coaches are going to be around. And tomorrow's Georgia, so that would be interesting to see what tomorrow brings.
Yes, tomorrow is Georgia Day, of course, being in Atlanta, I'm sure.
And Florida.
And Florida, yeah. Florida, too.
Just saying.
Yes, and Florida Day, too. But Georgia coming off the national championship, I expect them to get a lot of attention here at SEC Media Days 2022. Live here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, talking to Kimberly Bowden, the president and CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame. Our SEC Media Days coverage sponsored by the Orthopedic Clinic, Jackson Services, and Kia of Auburn. Well, the College Football Hall of Fame, it's so unique, it's so cool to have SEC Media Days here. For a fan that has never been here before that may be listening right now, why should they make the trip to Atlanta to come and see the College Football Hall of Fame?
Because this is Mecca, right? This is the shrine to the game that we all love, and there's something for everyone. So you're going to get to learn about our Hall of Famers, over 1,200 really incredible men, but you're also going to dig into the traditions and the passion and, you know, whether it's bands or, you know, cheerleading and mascots, and we celebrate it all. And so, and we have a 45-yard playing field. So if you want to get down there and kick a field goal, you know, throw a couple passes, you know, it's hands-on as well. And I think that's the most important thing. It's fun.
Well, I was going to ask you what happens on this football field when there's not a bunch of tables, chairs, and a main stage. When people come and visit the College Football Hall of Fame, what can they do on this massive field behind me?
So we typically have the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl Skill Zone set up, and it is a regulation extra point. That's a college goalpost, and the kick is a college extra point. And so people are trying, they're kicking all day.
Yep.
We have a long toss. We have an agility challenge. So it's really just a skills opportunity to have some fun and burn off some energy and kind of see how your skills are holding up.
Yeah, so for all of you that, you know, talk about the kickers and can't make a kick, maybe a PAT, you can come to the College Football Hall of Fame and give it a try. Maybe you'll see how hard it really is.
It is so hard.
I don't know if I could do it. I don't know.
It's impressive when you see somebody that can actually do it, but most people miss, quite frankly.
Yeah, look, I try to keep my negative comments about kickers to a minimum because I know that I can't do it, but what a great time you'd be able to come to the College Football Hall of Fame, try to kick a PAT, come and see the museum, the interactives, and all of that going on here at the College Football Hall of Fame. Kimberly Bowden, thank you so much for sitting with us and having a conversation about the College Football Hall of Fame. It's a great week. It's a great venue. We're excited to be here. Thank you so much.
That was my conversation with Kimberly Bowden, the president and CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame, last week at SEC Media Days in Atlanta. So much good information coming from her, talking about the College Football Hall of Fame and how it is always changing. I think that was the coolest thing I learned was they constantly rotate out the exhibits and they have it set up to where they can tell how active the exhibits are and how many people are actually visiting those specific exhibits and interacting with those exhibits, and they can rotate those out. So really, really cool. Great conversation with her. Kimberly Bowden, the president and CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame. Let's take our final break here in hour number one. We'll come back and wrap it up. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind in the sports world? Auburn, Atlanta Braves, we're going to talk about that coming up, but if you want to call in about anything, please do. 334-321-1390. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Heading to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. We got Thomas here on the line. Thomas, we have about 3 minutes, man. What you got?
Hey, well, good afternoon. First of all, just want to say War Eagle, and it is so good to be living on this side of the state. I lived on the other side of the state for way too long. I was a martyr behind enemy lines for the cause, and I was more than happy to do it, and glad to be in the Auburn area. I know you were talking about recruiting. I look at, we only have five commitments, from what I understand, following some recruiting. We're expecting maybe another couple of commits and after Big Cat weekend,
mm-hmm.
Very possibly our quarterback for the 2024 season is going to commit during that time, possibly one of two. I think we're going to do just fine. And I've always looked at it like this. I only want players who really want to be at Auburn.
That's right.
If they don't want to be here, then please go somewhere else. Because if you don't want to be here, you're not going to make the effort. And I look at, and a lot of people don't really follow this much or even really think much about it. But, over the course of college football history, two teams have beaten the University of Alabama the most, more than anybody else, and that's Tennessee and Auburn. And when we've got the same number of wins as Tennessee, facing Alabama 20 less times.
Hmm.
Let that sink in. And we are 12-1 against them when we win at least 8 games.
Yeah. No, I've known that one. I know there's always the thing that Nick Saban can't beat a good Auburn team.
Well, that's exactly right, and he can't. Hey, he even with that good team last year, if he hadn't had 5 or 6 major missed calls in the last 2 minutes of the game, they'd have lost that game last year.
Well, if Auburn has an actual starting quarterback, I think they win the game last year, my friend.
Not that too, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. You're right. But yeah, on recruiting wise, man, I think more are going to come. I've been saying that. I think more and more are going to commit before the season starts, like after Big Cat weekend, like you mentioned. And then once the wins start coming, I think a lot of people are going to commit. And one thing I really like about the recruits is Auburn's not going out and picking up just random 3 stars. They're going out and getting solid guys.
Oh, yes. Well, and also one thing that I really like over the previous staff, and I like Gus. I'm not going to say that I didn't, but I look in the fact that we've offered 32 offensive tackles.
Yeah,
we used to offer 3, and then wonder why we didn't get them. Well, we may not get any of them.
Right.
But you know what? If you don't ask, you're not going to get them.
That's exactly right.
At least try.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So one thing, I think if everybody will get behind the current staff, I think we'll do well. And I've always looked at it like this: get behind them, and then if they don't do the job, replace them.
Yep.
It's just like it at any other business.
Yep. It's not rocket science, is it?
It's not.
No, that's exactly right. Thomas, we're up against the break, man. We are about to head to the break and start hour number two. Thank you so much for the call, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. That was Thomas here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. You can call in. Be on the line as well. 334-321-1390. Big thank you to him for calling in, talking about recruiting and everything going on. Look, Auburn's got 5 solid guys already. Big Cat weekend, they're expecting it to be a big one, okay? And Auburn's expected to get some more guys. And like he said, get behind the staff and let's see what happens. Hour number one, officially in the book. Stay tuned. Hour number two, coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Hope you're all doing well on this Thursday afternoon. Sun is shining. It's a beautiful day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Hope you're all doing well here on this Thursday afternoon. Hour number one officially in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two officially underway here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Hey, if you missed any of hour number one or any of my other shows, make sure you go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. I upload that immediately following the show, so make sure you go and find that commercial-free wherever you get your podcast. Or you can go and look on ESPNAU.com. That's ESPNAU.com. All of our podcasts are there under the Podcast Center, so you can go and find it there. Or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts. Phone lines are open here in hour number two, 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to me. Call in, be a part of the show, be on the line, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Call in about anything going on in the sports world, anything on your mind, anything that I'm talking about that you want to chime in on, anything else that I may have missed that you want to talk about, I would love to hear from you. Lots of Auburn football recruiting talks today about Auburn picking up the recruit. We're going to talk about that in just a second. If you want to chime in on that, or again, anything else going on in the sports world, give me a call, be on the line, 334-321-1390. Well, let's start hour number two like we always do with making headlines here on Thursday, July 28th, 2022. August is just a few days away, folks. That's unbelievable. But headlines here on Thursday, July 28th, 2022. The countdown to football season continues. We are 37 days away from Auburn football kicking off on September 3rd. 37 days away from Auburn football kicking off on September 3rd. I'm excited. I know you are as well. It is flying by with August a couple of days away. Fall camp and practice getting underway in just about a week or so. And then after that, it is on. So 37 days away from kickoff for Auburn. But as we get into headlines here on this Thursday, July 28th, 2022, Auburn football yesterday, about 20 minutes after I got off the air, they picked up a commitment of Wilkie Dinaud. He is the four-star edge from John Carroll High School in the state of Georgia. He's a four-star edge that committed to the Tigers yesterday afternoon. He is now the fifth player in the 2023 class for Auburn. And all of those players, all five of them, are four stars. And I talked about back in hour number one how it may seem like Brian Hartson is not winning in recruiting, but I think he is. Sure, we'd like to see him doing more, and we'd like to see more players committed. But when you look at all five of these guys now, including Wilkie Dinaud after he committed yesterday, all five guys are solid players. They're all four stars. They're all very high-quality players that I think will have instant impacts when they get here. I think they'll be starters down the road when they are here at Auburn. And it seems like that Brian Harsin is going for quality over quantity. That's the term that people seem to be using, and I think it's true. I think Auburn is looking for more players. Obviously, we'd love to see Auburn have 15 or 20 guys in this class like some other schools do. But you know what? Auburn has five solid guys, and they're not done. I can promise you that. They are not done. We're expecting Auburn to pick up quite a few more coming up in the next few weeks with Big Cat Weekend, and I don't think it's going to be just a huge flood of them. I talked about it earlier. I think it's going to be consistent, and I think it's going to be a very solid push to get these guys committed over a longer period of time. And ultimately, we know what will get recruits to commit here. It's winning games. When you start winning, you will get guys to commit to your school. It's crazy how that works, right? That is what we are waiting on. I think Auburn has done pretty well in recruiting after what seemed to be a lack of effort on the recruiting trail from Brian Harsin and the play or the in the coaching staff. It seems like they've turned it around and they figured out, hey, we actually have to recruit here. This is not Boise, Idaho anymore. And they figured that out. And so far, so good, if you ask me, in Auburn football recruiting. They pick up Wilkie Dinod, the four-star edge from John Carroll High School out of the state of Georgia. He's 6'4", 245 pounds. I've seen a little bit of film on him, not a whole lot. He's very quick, and I think he gives Auburn a very unique perspective, if that's the word, I guess. He's a very unique type of player. He's a big guy. He's fast. He has a long reach, and I think he's going to be able to take up some holes and really, really just have an effective position on the defensive side of the football. Really excited to see what he does with Auburn. He picked the Tigers over Florida State, Tennessee, and Indiana, so he picked Auburn over a couple big-time programs. We've seen Auburn lose some battles to those schools already, but they did not lose this one. Wilkie Dinod, the four-star edge from John Carroll High School in the state of Georgia. Auburn goes next door, and they pick one up of their own with Wilkie Dinod, the four-star edge, yesterday afternoon. Moving on in making headlines, Tim Hudson from Auburn Baseball is stepping away from the program. We know what he has done in his time with the Tigers, and he is he's stepping away from Auburn Baseball. We know he is a very, very famous Auburn alum. He has a huge history with the Tigers, and now it's somebody they have to replace. He was a 17-year MLB veteran. He was a volunteer assistant, but he is no longer doing that. That's what I'm being told, and that's what I've seen from our good buddy Lindsey Crosby, who writes for Auburn Daily. He broke this news yesterday, and so Tim Hudson leaving the Auburn Tigers baseball team, as far as we know right now. So I did want to bring that up. We talk a lot of baseball. We're actually going to have Lindsey on tomorrow, so make sure you tune in for that. We're going to talk Auburn baseball. We're going to talk this news. We're going to talk Auburn baseball players being drafted into the MLB, and then we're going to talk some Atlanta Braves. So Lindsey Crosby will be joining me in studio tomorrow for hour number one. I think he'll be here for half of hour number one tomorrow. So really looking forward to that. And then our good buddy Jack Hutt will be joining me in hour number two. We have a very special segment coming for you guys tomorrow, so make sure you tune in for that. Also, here in this hour number two today, it is Thursday, so we're going to talk to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, like we always do at 3:30. So make sure you stay tuned in for that as well. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast today at 3:30. And then Lindsey Crosby tomorrow and Jack Hutton tomorrow. So a very strong end to the week here on the line. But moving on here in making headlines, as we talk every day, the Atlanta Braves are getting ready for a series with the Arizona Diamondbacks, a series that, oh my goodness, I've said this, the Braves got to win this series, man. This is a winnable series. You've got to be able to win this thing. There's no game today. The Braves don't play today. They're coming off the series lost against the Philadelphia Phillies. They lost on Monday 6-4. They won on Tuesday 6-3, and then yesterday they lost 7-2 to lose the series against the Phillies. The Braves are off today. They're traveling back home. They will take on the Arizona Diamondbacks tomorrow, Saturday, and on Sunday. And so this is a series where you are significantly better than the Arizona Diamondbacks if you're the Atlanta Braves. And games that you have to win, especially when you look above you in the standings and you see a team like the New York Mets, who, by the way, the next headline I've got on here, they take two straight games against the New York Yankees, a team that has the best record in baseball. So the Mets are playing pretty good right now. And the Braves, you cannot keep falling behind the Mets. You made a fantastic push to close the gap on the Mets. You cannot let them get away. Now, when you look at it, you are three games back of the New York Mets. You lose that series against the Phillies. You got to move on. The Mets, though, playing strong baseball. They take two straight against New York. They take two straight against the Yankees. They were playing, the Mets were home for this series, but you know how that goes. You're both in New York. But the Mets, they take two straight games against the Yankees, who are playing so good. They are 66-33, and they have the most wins in baseball right now, do the New York Yankees, by one. They have one more win than the Dodgers and two more wins than the Houston Astros. And by the way, the Dodgers and the Astros. I talked about the Dodgers yesterday, but the Dodgers and the Astros having a very quiet, successful seasons are both of those franchises. Houston 64-35, 10 games up in their division, and the Dodgers 65-32, 11.5 games up in their division. Of course, the Yankees 66-33, 11.5 games up in their respective division as well. So some teams having some really, really good years and going quiet because of the Yankees and their firepower. But the Atlanta Braves off today. They will start a series with the Arizona Diamondbacks tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday over in Atlanta. Moving on in making headlines, sticking with some baseball talk, Andrew Benintendi from the Royals has officially been traded to the New York Yankees. Of course, Benintendi was a gold glover in the outfield for the Boston Red Sox for many years. He eventually went to the Kansas City Royals. Red Sox let him go, shocker. And then he is now going to the New York Yankees. So yet again, the rich get richer. The Yankees, they have picked up some more firepower with Andrew Benintendi. He hasn't been hitting the ball great as of late, but they pick up a gold glover in the outfield. I mean, you can't get any better than that, folks. And so the Yankees, you think they're good now, they're only getting better. And they're still in the running for Juan Soto. I've seen where they are no longer the favorites in that situation. They are more of a backup plan for the Washington Nationals if they can't move Soto somewhere. The Yankees may be a backup option for that, but they're still in the running, and so they could very easily pick him up as well. The Yankees are so good, and the one thing I hate about baseball, the salary cap is a joke. The richest teams get the best players. They don't always win, but they do always get the best players, and that is what is happening with the New York Yankees right now. But when you look at it, I mean, sure, the Yankees get the best players, but they haven't won one in a minute, so we'll see what happens. I think they're very, very poised and ready to go for a World Series run this year. I hope not, but we'll see. They are. They just got Andrew Benintendi, and they are still in the running for Juan Soto. Remember, he turned down a $440 million deal from the Washington Nationals. He turned it down, folks. $440 million. Could you imagine? I couldn't. There ain't no way. No way. I don't care who I'm playing for, what I'm doing. If somebody's guaranteeing me $440 million, I'm going to do it. I can promise you that. Moving on here in making headlines, we've got a couple more here in this first segment in this Thursday edition of On the Line. Bubba Watson heading to the LIV Golf Tour. He has left the PGA and is officially joining the LIV Golf Tour. That's another one, another victory for the LIV Golf Tour. Put it down in the books. They have taken another player from the PGA. He is joining the LIV Golf Tour. I'm not sure what he is joining them for, like how much money he's making with that. But I think it's mixed feelings about Bubba Watson leaving the PGA Tour. Look, I like Bubba Watson. I've never had a problem with the guy. I think a lot of people would not agree with that statement. A lot of people are not big Bubba Watson fans just because of kind of how he carries himself sometimes, especially early on in his younger career. But Bubba Watson, he's a big name, and everybody knows who he is. And so the LIV Golf Tour taking another one from the PGA Tour. He is joining LIV. And I don't even know who's left over there at the PGA. Rory, let's see, I'm trying to think. Spieth, I think. He's still there. There's not very many of them left, I can tell you that, left in the PGA. But Bubba Watson, that news broke yesterday. He is officially going to the LIV Golf Tour, joining so many big names. You've got Dustin Johnson is definitely the one that is sticking out. And actually, as I mentioned it, Ben Taylor, who is the host of Auburn Opelika this morning on News Talk WANI, he also hosts the Dad Bod Golf Pod podcast. He just sent me a text. He said, Bubba Watson rumored $50 million up front to join the LIV Golf Tour. So there you go. The LIV Golf Tour paying Bubba Watson $50 million just to join. And we talked about yesterday how the LIV Tour next season in 2023, they are expanding to more events and more money. They're going to be paying over $400 million in total purse over those tournaments, and you play three rounds and you're getting paid a contract plus the money you're making on top of these tournaments. It's just crazy what the LIV Golf Tour is doing right now. But yet again, another big name leaving the PGA and joining the LIV Golf Tour. Bubba Watson, the big hitter, pink driver, Bubba Watson is joining the LIV Golf Tour. One more headline before we take our first break here in hour number two. Are USC and LSU getting some love in Las Vegas? That is what they are saying right now. There are some big-time bets being put on USC and LSU, some futures bets for the Trojans and the Tigers to do some have some success this season, possibly even win it all. That's what they're saying right now. Lots of people are loving the new coaches for LSU and USC. I don't think it's smart to do that, but hey, man, you never know what's going to happen. Those two schools have so much talent, and they do have new coaches, and you really never know what's going to happen with new coaches and so much talent. I would not put my money on USC or LSU to win it all this year. I wouldn't put my money on USC or LSU to win their own conference this year, but apparently some people in Vegas are really high on the Trojans and the Tigers, so you know, don't take my word for it, and don't take this as a go put your money on them. I'm telling you not to, but you just truly never know. I just thought that was interesting. I saw that article today about Vegas taking in quite a bit of money and bets on USC and LSU to win it all, to win the national championship in football this year. Not sure where that's coming from, but hey, man, it's not my money, so whatever you want to do with it, be my guest. That's all I got for making headlines here on Thursday, July 28th, 2022. When we come back, question of the day about Auburn football recruiting, in case you missed it, in hour number one. How many recruits and what does it take for this 2023 class for you to be satisfied with Auburn football recruiting? That's the question of the day. Give me a call. I'd love to hear your answer. 334-321-1390. That's the question of the day. I'll address it on the other side of this break.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Question of the day here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Question of the day, in case you missed it, what will it take for Auburn's 2023 recruiting class, what will it take for you to be pleased with that 2023 Auburn football recruiting class? That's the question of the day to you. 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to me. Give me a call and give me your answer. What will it take for you to be pleased with Auburn's 2023 football recruiting class? 334-321-1390. Had a caller to end hour number one about this question and about this topic, and he talked about how so far he seems like Auburn's doing pretty well and how Auburn is expected to get some big-time recruits after Big Cat Weekend and how Auburn is expected to pick up some guys here as we go on in the next couple of weeks, and I agree with him. And I think also throughout the season and as we get to December, I think some people are going to be surprised at what this recruiting class is going to look like when it's all said and done for 2023. And I also agree with what he said about how people should get behind this coaching staff, get behind the program, and let's support them. And I like how he said this too. He said, you get behind them and you support them, and if they don't do it correctly or they don't do their job right or they don't win, whatever it may be, then you get rid of them, and then you replace them. But this early on, I mean, we got to give some people some chances, right? We've all been saying that. So I like the call, but what do you think? What will it take for you to be pleased with the 2023 Auburn football recruiting class? Give me a call, 334-321-1390. Is it a certain amount of five stars? Is it a certain amount of four and five stars? Is it just a total number of recruits in general? Are there certain players that you're looking for Auburn to go after? Are you looking for the overall ranking? What is it that would make you pleased and satisfied with the 2023 recruiting class? Because there's no doubt that there's people that are still worried about it, and that's totally fine. I get it, right? There's totally there's a total understanding of why you would be upset and worried about the recruiting class. You look across the state and they've got 15 compared to your five. They have three or four five stars and Auburn doesn't have any. But one thing I really like about this class so far for Auburn is all five of them are four stars. I think that's really important. No, you don't have any five stars, but you also don't have any three stars. And I'm not talking bad about three stars because, as I said earlier, we have seen three stars time and time again, especially at Auburn, pan out and become something really, really special. And There's nothing wrong with that, but it seems like Brian Hartson and this staff are maybe taking their time a little bit, and they're going after guys that they truly believe they can get and they truly believe will benefit Auburn. They're not just going after the biggest names and the biggest schools and the biggest programs because that's what everybody else is doing. That's not what it seems like to me. What it seems like is Auburn has sat down and they said, okay, here's the list of guys we want. Let's go and try to get every single one of them. And so far, it hasn't worked to perfection, but that's not realistic. You're not going to get every single guy that you go after. That's just not going to happen. But I think Auburn is doing their, they are doing their part, and they are trying to do that. But like I said, they're not going and offering, 5,000 kids, right? They're going after a select group, and they're hammering down on those players because Auburn feels they really, really need them and they really, really want them. And I like that strategy. Instead of going after a wide range of guys and just sending out offers left and right, here, there, up and down, and hoping you get lucky. No, instead they have gotten a smaller group and they said, we are going to hammer these guys. And we are going to be at their door, at their practices, in their ears, constantly until they realize they should come play at Auburn. And I like that. And it seems like that is working so far. We're expecting to see more recruits for Auburn football coming up after Big Cat weekend. And I think after that, I'm not sure how many we're supposed to get or what Auburn is predicted to get as of right now. You never truly know, right? But the big thing I've talked about with the recruiting class for Auburn, I just want to see guys constantly and consistently joining the class and committing to Auburn throughout the season. And once we get into the offseason, I want to see this thing just keep building and keep growing. And over time, and by the end of it, we can look back on this and say, wow, look at where we started and look where this thing ended up. I think we're going to have that aha moment. I really do. I truly feel that with Auburn's recruiting class, not just this year, but for years to come, we're going to be able to look back and say, remember when we had two guys in that 23 class? Now look where it is, right? When there's 15 or 20 guys or even more maybe who are in this thing and we're looking at some really solid players, we're going to be like, wow, maybe the plan actually worked. But I'll tell you what, it's a bold strategy, but if it doesn't work, you're going to be screwed if you're Brian Hartson and this coaching staff, because if you don't get these guys, then you're done for. Because you have put all of your eggs in a certain amount of baskets. And if you don't get these guys that you've put all this time, energy, money into, and you don't get them, and you swing and miss, you better watch out. Because then what do you do? What do you do when your select few guys that you went after, they picked some other school? They said, nah, we're good. No thanks. Well, man, then you're running around with your hands up in the air because you don't know what to do because you didn't go after enough guys. So it's a bold strategy. But so far, I think it's working. And Brian Hartson going after quality over quantity, so far, I think is working. I really do. I think it's working. Sure, there's only five of them in there. There's going to be more. And I think everybody in the class is going to be solid and an instant impact player who has a bright future at Auburn. I think that's what we're going to look at when this is all said and done for this 23 class. It's going to be a solid class. So many good guys, lots of stars in this class, and I think the strategy is going to work. Now, only time will tell. We're going to have to wait and see. But if you ask me, I think recruiting's doing just fine. It's slower than what people want, but I promise you results are coming. They are coming. We got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, he is coming on the show. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Well, like we do on every Thursday afternoon here on the show, Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Chris, it's been 1 week since SEC Media Days, and college football excitement has growing and just keeps on growing, man. How are you, and what's your excitement level for college football as we are 37 days away?
Well, I'm super excited. I mean, somebody pointed out to me, it was a month from yesterday, if we're counting that first week of games, and then I looked at the slate, and then I got really super depressed because it's like, you know, it's just a really bad team.
You're not excited for Vanderbilt in Hawaii, Chris?
Well, I mean, that's the headliner. I mean, that's how bad it got. That's the headliner. I think Northwestern is playing somebody in Dublin, and I guess that's okay. But, yeah, it's like, it's a whole lot of, like, Alabama State versus somebody. And I'm like, man, that's depressing. But, look, that's why we gamble. That's why we bet on games, because it makes those games that much more interesting. But you're right. I think I'm going to stick with you in the 37 days, because that's when we get real games, not that first early, you know, basically preseason week of college games.
Right. Well, look, I'm counting down the days until Auburn gets going. There are a couple of games on that Thursday night, but look, week zero, I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to say I'm going to get excited about it, but I am going to watch week zero. But we are a week out of SEC Media Days, and like I said, 37 days away from college football. We've got some recruiting stuff to talk about. We'll start with Alabama first. Yesterday, they picked up a huge five-star. Yet again, they add on another one to their recruiting class to make 15 players now in 2023. What'd you make that?
Yeah, I mean, going into the state of Georgia and grabbing big name players, it's so funny. It feels like these teams all alternate doing it. Alabama will go into the state of Georgia, get a big time recruit from there. Georgia will go into Florida, get a big time recruit from there. But everybody's starting to, the wheels are in motion. You're starting to see more and more classes become solidified. I know Auburn picked up a big defensive lineman yesterday. So things are starting to happen here, and you start to see more and more kids start to commit now, because once you start to get in the season, you know, a lot of these high school kids, they like to play their senior year. Either they've already committed and gotten it out of the way, or they're going to do the big hat ceremony come, you know, later in December and getting closer to the early signing period. So, it's a heck of a class. I mean, it's so funny. I had somebody arguing with me yesterday over Alabama and saying, oh, you know, Nick Saban and all his complaining. And I'm like, whoa, pump the brakes. I know we took that as complaining, but the guy's nothing to complain about. He's still putting together, had the number two recruiting class this year, and he's about to have another top recruiting class again next year. So, you know, don't mistake him talking about the NIL and the issues with it, complaining, because he has nothing to complain about.
No, he seems to be doing just fine, and I think Auburn fans would pay a lot of money to have the recruiting class that Alabama does. But you mentioned the guy that Auburn picked up yesterday. They pick up the four-star edge, Wilkie Dinaud, out of the state of Georgia. That makes five players now for Auburn's 2023 class. And Auburn fans are still a little worried, because there are only five guys in the class, but all of them are four-star players. What do you make of the class right now? And what would you tell Auburn fans for the future of this class? Are there any positives to look at it?
No, it's an interesting way to look at it, right? I mean, five players that are all four stars. Would you feel differently if they had 10 players right now and five of them were four stars and you know, five of them were three stars? Would you feel any differently? You know what I mean? It almost feels quality over quantity at this point. But, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of three stars out there they can add to this group if need be. But I'm with you. I mean, the total number is a little jarring. I know A&M is even a little... It's been a little slow to get going in this class. Somebody joked they blew their whole budget on the 2022 class, so they don't have enough money left over for the 2023 class. But, I would say A&M's right there in that same boat. They're saying they're a little worried that they don't have a ton of recruits, in yet. And then you look at a school like, I think it's in Arkansas, has already got like 22, 23 or something. I mean, you already got some schools that almost have a full class already. And so, you know, I would say maybe pump the brakes, but we understand why Auburn's in this situation, you know, why there's some pessimism around Brian Harsin and the future of Auburn. But again, can't argue with the five kids that they got in, but yeah, you would certainly rather be at 9, 10, 11 kids in right now as opposed to five.
Well, Chris, it seems like to me that Brian Harsin and the staff, they've gone after a smaller group of guys and put all of their time and effort into those instead of going after a wide range of kids and just sending out offers left and right. Is that something that you have seen, and is that a strategy that can work long term?
Yeah, it could be. And you know, I heard an interview with Phil Steele this afternoon where he was talking about Harsin and basically said that he thinks, you know, everybody who's doubting Auburn and saying, oh, you know, things, it's a disaster over there. And he said, I almost wonder if they're going to use this as a rallying cry, you know, in that they're going to look at it and say, we weeded out the kids that we didn't need, you know, or didn't want to be here. But the kids who are here are going to rally around Harsin, and they're going to go all in. And so it's an interesting, you know, dynamic from that standpoint. You wonder the same thing with these recruits coming in, that not only are they committed, but they are going to be all in, and you won't have any decommitments or any kids questioning their decision to Auburn. So, again, I think it all goes back to wins and losses. If they start 5-0 and everything's going well and everybody's, you know, sunshine and roses with Brian Harsin, I think you're going to have a lot more, you know, recruits committing and feeling good about them. But man, if they start with any L's in those first few weeks, this thing could go sideways.
Speaking to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Chris, listening to some of your episodes this week, you sat down with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey talking about a lot of things. What were some of those topics that you discussed and anything that he said that really caught your ear?
Well, the NIL stuff is still big. I thought it was interesting with him. You know, my question was, how do you regulate it from the standpoint of, you know, is it the conferences, is it the schools, is it the NCAA? He thinks that there needs to be government, you know, intervention, congressional decisions, because, you know, that's kind of how we got here. It took state approval, states approving NIL to become legal. You know, somebody said it's not just a rule, it's a law. You passed a law saying that kids can make money off of name, image, and likeness. And so that's where he says, you know, that he thinks the government should be the ones to step in and regulate this and say, you know, if we're going to enforce a rule saying you can't use NILs as an inducement for recruiting, then those would be the people that would police it and investigate it. Look, I'm over the whole wiretap thing, with whether it was Will Wade or, you know, folks looking into the Tennessee investigation and all this. I just think it becomes, look, we've already opened Pandora's box. Just let it go. You know, if a school wants to pay, you know, wants to have all their boosters pay for a recruiting class, so be it. Let's see how it pans out, because when a lot of those kids end up not panning out as 4 and 5 stars do every year, or, you know, kids come and they don't like it and they hit the transfer portal, I think you're going to have a lot less people investing and throwing their money at recruiting classes, because they're not going to see that return on investment. So I think you just open the floodgates, but obviously, you know, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey doesn't feel that way. He's even been one throughout the years who said he thinks, you know, scholarship and room and board and books is more than enough compensation for a kid to play football. So I don't know. I don't know where it's all going to end, but I thought that was interesting. He also made a comment about, you know, the future of the SEC and expansion, that, you know, their ears are always open. You know, he even made it a point to say, we're not going door to door shopping the SEC. We speak for ourselves. You know, it's more so schools are reaching out to us. And basically, they're keeping a list. You know, they feel good at 16, but if any time they had to expand, they've got a couple teams on speed dial, or a couple schools on speed dial, they can call and certainly add to the SEC tomorrow and get to 18 or 20 teams if need be. So I thought that was interesting, and I really hope it stays that way. I just think getting to 18 and 20 teams is silly. It starts to becomes a league and not a conference anymore. So 16 is good enough. You know, it's still going to be hard enough to play everybody throughout the conference very often. Obviously, the scheduling issues, we'll see what they do with that. But, yeah, obviously those are two big topics that aren't going to go away, but it's two big topics that we need to be focused on. If you like the SEC and the future of the SEC, NIL and expansion are two big things that are always going to be on the table.
Speaking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast here on the Line. Chris, you talk about expansion and not expansion within the conferences, but expansion of the college football playoff has been something that has been a topic of discussion at Big Ten media days. They are looking and wanting to go to 16 teams for a playoff berth. What would the SEC's response to that be, in your opinion, if the college football playoff were to go to 16 teams?
Yeah, it's stupid. That's too many. You know, the bowl season is already murky enough I mean, do you, you know, are we just going to, are we going to eliminate bowl games? Then, okay, then maybe I'll get on board with that. But, you know, I've always been in the mindset, I think if we're going to play playoff games, we need to do them on college campuses. I think that'd be awesome to say, you know, Alabama hosts Wisconsin in a, you know, in a first-round playoff game, and they got to come to Tuscaloosa. I think that's way more feasible, you know, way more fun and entertaining. But unfortunately, it's all corporate dollars at play, and that's why we're playing these stupid semifinals where everybody's going to go to L.A. or everybody's going to go to Arizona or Atlanta or New Orleans or Dallas. And I get those big stadiums and those cities are paying top dollar, and the sponsors like Chick-fil-A in Atlanta are paying for that. But, man, it takes away from the ambiance and the fun of what college football is. And it's about being on college campuses, and it's about tailgating and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of these big-time stadiums, there's some good tailgating in Dallas outside Jerry's World, like the big parking lot, you know, of asphalt. So, you know, I wish we could find a way. If we're going to expand it, okay, it's fine. But, man, make it where we're having all those early rounds on college campuses, and we're still getting to experience, you know, the world of what college football is, as opposed to, man, going and doing it in these neutral sites. Because let's be real, like, I've got friends who are big Alabama fans, and they don't like spending the money. Like, when they know Alabama every year has a chance to go play for the SEC or, you know, play for the SEC championship or make a run for the national championship, that's three big road trips you're talking about. Going to Atlanta for the SEC championship, going to wherever for the semifinal, and then going wherever for the championship game. It's just a lot of places, a lot of trips, and those kind of fans are having to pick and choose their road trips. I mean, it's a big toll on your expenditures to have to make those trips so much. So, yeah, I would say, man, if we could make it where it's a little bit more home field advantage for some of those teams in the playoffs, then okay, but I still think 16 is too many.
Chris, it must be a horrible problem to have to choose which game you want to go to, the SEC championship, the playoff, or the championship game. I mean, just what a horrible conundrum and situation to have to be in to choose. But I fully understand what you're saying. I am just messing with you. I fully get it, man. I really do. And it is a lot of travel and having to go from one end of the country to the other if you really do want to go and see all of these games. I think that the playoff expansion is coming. And the SEC is going to get their teams in, whether it's 4 or if it's 20. They're going to get the most teams in no matter what. So the SEC is going to be just fine. They're not going to hurt by any type of playoff expansion whatsoever. We're talking to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. You mentioned Tennessee earlier. They got in a little bit of trouble earlier this week. Jeremy Pruitt, the former Tennessee head football coach. We know what the disaster was while he was there, but seems like it's not quite done with some of the news that came out earlier this week.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the details interesting that his wife was involved in helping, you know, make payments to players. Eli Drinkwitz was on the Jim Rome show yesterday, and even he took shots at him for that. He said, "Oh man, I need to tell my wife she's not doing enough to help out with the program." But I thought they did a pretty good job of getting ahead of a lot of this stuff, admitting it, coming clean, cleaning house, getting rid of Fulmer, getting rid of Pruitt, getting rid of a lot of the guys who were the bad eggs around this. You know, I'm typically against coming back and you know, giving a big punishment for a school for something that the previous people did. So, you know, I think when it's all said and done, I don't think Tennessee's going to get very much of a punishment at all, because, again, they at least got ahead of this and admitted to their faults. And, again, you know, I think they're pretty transparent with everything with the NCAA. So we'll see what happens. You know, the NCAA, sometimes they're not very forgiving, but I think they did enough to get ahead of this and admit, you know, what they did wrong and clean house. But again, if they end up punishing Tennessee, and let's just say they give them like a postseason ban, I think those kind of things are so stupid, because you're affecting kids on this campus that had nothing to do with it. You're affecting a coaching staff that had nothing to do with it. Really, what's the point? You're punishing the fans. You're punishing people, you know, that had nothing to do with the crime.
I feel like it should be like a financial punishment or something, because I agree. I mean, I think if the coach that was under your, you know, organization did something against the rules, I feel like there should be some form of punishment, but not for the coaches and players that had nothing to do with it. I don't know what the answer is on that. That's above our pay grade, my friend. But one more thing before I let you get out of here. I read an article today that Vegas has been taking quite a bit of money on LSU futures. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, you know, I was listening to a podcast today where they were talking about the best quarterbacks in the SEC. And, man, they ran through 10 names, and there was no mention of Miles Brennan. And, look, I'm not saying Miles Brennan is going to be all SEC this year, but once they do name him the starter, I think they will name – that Brian Kelly will name him the starter. Like, last time we saw him when he was healthy, he was throwing for 300, 400 yards a game. Like, they got into a shootout with Mississippi State where he threw for 400 yards. He went to Missouri, threw for over 300 yards. So, like, when Miles Brennan's healthy, he's a really, really good quarterback. And he's got Kayshawn Boutte as his number one wide receiver, who's one of the best in not just the SEC but in the country. He's got some other young weapons in Malik Nabers and Jack Besh and guys who I think who can really rise to the occasion and show what they can do. So I just look at that LSU team. I think they've got a lot of weapons, and I just start to wonder, man, if the defense is as good as we think it's going to be, that front seven with guys like B.J. Ojulari and Mason Smith, like, I think LSU's going to surprise some people, and you know, maybe they have a chance to get to 9. You know, maybe if everything falls their way, 10 wins. I don't think they're going to beat Alabama at home, although they got to come to Baton Rouge, and typically LSU's always up for that game. But I could see Brian Kelly doing some damage in year one. I keep seeing, you know, some people picking them to go 6-6, 7-5 in year one, and I would just say, I think LSU's got too much talent. I think Brian Kelly's too good of a coach for them to have a 6-6 type season. The only thing I think that could hold them back is that offensive line. But as you know, I mean, the SEC West is absolutely brutal. You know, Brian Harsin's already 1-0 against LSU. We'll see there. Last time Mike Leach went to Baton Rouge, he won there. So they got some games that they got to prove themselves this year. But I'd be really surprised if LSU had a down year this year. I think they have a real chance to surprise some people.
I think they have more talent than people realize. It's kind of like Auburn. I think there's a lot of talent down there, and people just don't realize it. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, thank you so much for your time. As always, let everybody know where they can find your podcast, man.
Yeah, just go to LockedOnSEC.com or check us out on YouTube. Just search Locked On SEC. We're going to have our interview up with Chris Doering tomorrow from SEC Media Days, talking about the landscape of the SEC. And if you missed it earlier this week, our one-on-one with Brian Kelly, new LSU coach, and our one-on-one with the SEC Commissioner, Greg Sankey.
Awesome, man. You do great work. I appreciate your time. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, man.
That was Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Let's take our final break. We'll come back and wrap it up here on this Thursday afternoon.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader Jacob Goins with you here for the next couple of minutes. Make sure you stay tuned. It'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN 106.7 as soon as I'm done. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Big thank you to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, for coming on Thursdays like he does every single week. Big thank you to him. He's always a great interview. He's kind of like me. He's going to tell you like it is, and I really like that he does great work. Make sure you go and find his podcast. Just search, I almost said On the Line, just search Locked On SEC. You can go to his website or on YouTube. But speaking of that, make sure you go and find my podcast as well, On the Line. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. I go and upload that immediately following the show. I cut the commercials out. You can listen to it commercial free, absolutely free, wherever you get your podcast or at ESPNAU.com. It's been a great show today, and final take. I've got about 40 seconds or so. My final take to you, it's really simple, folks. Auburn's recruiting class in 2023 for football is going to be just fine. They have 5 players now. They're all solid. None of them are worrisome. There's nobody on there yet that I'm like, I don't really know about him. I think all 5 of them are great players. They're going to be great players at Auburn. And overall, Auburn's recruiting class in 2023 is going to get better. It's going to get better in the next couple of weeks. It's going to get better in the next couple of months. And over the years, I think you are going to see Auburn football recruiting take a massive, massive jump. I just think it's going to happen. I really, really do. We know what it takes. It takes wins. But I think you're going to be surprised at how many people buy into Auburn before that has to happen. That's it for the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll wrap it up before heading to the weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.